In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Christ is born.
Glory!
There's a story that goes that in the 5th century in Constantinople, actually the 6th century, at the cathedral in Constantinople, during the Christmas Eve vigil, a young reader by the name of Romanus, was sent out to the middle of the church to read the Kathismus. Now, Romanus was a sweet man. He was known to be a very gentle man, a very holy man, actually a very young man, not much more than a boy. And he was the favorite of the Patriarch of Constantinople at the time because of his gentleness. But he was not a very good reader. He wasn't very good at all. And he got out in the middle of the church and he began to read the Psalms of the Kathismus and he began to butcher it. He was doing a terrible job, such a terrible job that he had to, they sent somebody out to the middle of the church there and jerked him off. Send him to the side and have somebody else come out and finish the reading. Romanus was distraught by this, and he went and he sat down in one of the choir stalls, and he was overcome with tears, and then he eventually fell asleep. And while he was asleep, the Mother of God appeared to him, comforted him, and gave him a scroll, and told him to eat the scroll. And he ate the scroll, and when he woke up, he went up to the church, up to the ambon where I am today, and he began to sing, "I Parthenos Simeron." Today the Virgin gives birth, just what we just got through singing. He sang that song in that very same tone that we heard. Today the Virgin gives birth to the Transcendent One, and the earth offers a cave to the Unapproachable One. Angels with shepherds glorify him, and the wise men journey with the star. Since for our sake the eternal God was born as a little child. Like the angels and like the shepherds, the fathers of the church stood in awe when they sought to try to understand the great mystery and fathom the depths of the meaning of the incarnation of Christ. And the word paradox is used over and over again through the writings of the fathers to explain the seemingly contradictory things that go about when God takes on human flesh. A lot of times in Orthodox Christmas cards, you will see this quote from St. Gregory of Nyssa. "O inexpressible mystery and unheard of paradox. The invisible is seen. The intangible is touched. The timeless one steps into time. The Son of God becomes the son of a virgin." They're just blown away by this. How could this be? St. Andrew of Crete tells us in his great canon, which we do during Lent, it can be because when God so wills, the order of nature can be overturned, and he does whatever he pleases. That's what St. Andrew says in his great canon. The order of nature is overcome. But why did God do this? For what reason, St. John of Kronstadt says, did the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, co-eternal with the Father, become man without ceasing to remain God? How did the unapproachable one become approachable to all of us in the form of a humble servant, a helpless little child? There are many reasons, and I would like to focus on three of them today. The first reason that God became man was in order to raise our fallen human nature, to restore what they call in Latin imago Dei, the image of God, because we were all created in the image of God. Again, St. John of Kronstadt says, "The Word became flesh in order to make earthly things into heavenly ones, in order to make sinners into saints, to raise us up from corruption to incorruption, from slaves to sin, to the glorious freedom which is offered to the children of God." Basically, Christ became man. He became like us so that we can become like him, which is what he meant us to be from the very moment of our creation. Another St. Gregory the Wonder Worker, has this to say. "He has taken on my body so that I might have him within myself, and within myself to also have his spirit. He has appropriated to himself my nature, being garbed in my body so that he can give me his spirit and discover the treasures of life. So that's the first reason that Christ came to us as a little child, so that he might restore his image within us, which had fallen. The second reason he came to feed us with spiritual food. A third St. Gregory Dialogos, Pope of Rome, also called St. Gregory the Great, has an interesting little sermon. I read about 10 sermons from the fathers as I was preparing for Christmas. And in this little sermon, it was only two short pages, pages and a half, he said something very interesting. He pointed out the significance of the city of Bethlehem in the whole economy of salvation and the Lord's becoming man. Bethlehem comes from two Hebrew words, Beth meaning house, and Lehem, which means bread. Bethlehem means the house of bread. House of bread. And it's so interesting that this same child who was born as a little infant there in Bethlehem, the house of bread, would grow up to call himself the living bread who came down from heaven. And therefore the place in which the Lord was born is called the house of bread. And in this house of bread, he is born in a cave, and he is surrounded by animals who mostly eat grass. And basically, that's what bread is. Bread is made from wheat, which is basically a grass. So there, this one who is the living bread, who is born in the house of bread, is born in a cave there in the house of bread, surrounded by animals who eat grass, who eat bread. And as Isaiah says in his prophecy, all flesh is as grass. But he who predicted his own death by saying that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will remain alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He is now laid in a manger. And what is a manger? A manger is a trough. It is a feeding vessel so that animals can eat out of. Basically, it is the plate. It's a bowl. It's the bowl that the animals eat their bread out of. And Christ, born in the house of bread, who is the bread of life, is laid in a manger like bread in order that he may be eaten by us who have become like the beast. And we who have been become, who have been like beasts, are now nourished by his own bread, the bread of life, his flesh, his body and blood. And we are never to be left hungry again. I thought that was very interesting. The bread of life was born in the house of bread in order that he may feed us. That's the second reason he came, that he may feed us with spiritual food. And the third reason he came is so that he may bring us peace. We sang in the canon this morning during Matins, Thou who art the God of peace and the Father of compassions, Thou didst send unto us the angel of great counsel, granting us peace. St. John of San Francisco had a beautiful homily which he wrote in the year 1962, the year I was born. And in this homily he says that the angel of pre-eternal counsel comes to earth, not an ordinary messenger, which is what angel means, not an ordinary messenger, but the only begotten Son of God himself. And he brings peace to men. And St. John continues to point out the many times throughout the gospel that Jesus himself said to his disciples, Peace be unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. At the Last Supper, he said unto his disciples, Not as the world offers peace do I give, but I give you true peace, because true peace is himself. He gives us himself. St. Paul says that he, Christ, is our peace. And Christ preached peace to those far off and those who are near and close at hand. Because through him we have access to the Father of peace. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what the Nativity of Christ and the incarnation of the Son of God is all about. It is about offering us access to the Father through his incarnation, through the Father of peace. Again, St. John of San Francisco says, Unto man that had sinned and been separated from the peace of God comes his Creator, calling him to his embrace. And there is no safer, no more peaceful place for a child to be, a child, you and me, before God, than in the embrace, the gentle but yet firm embrace of his Father. With the coming of Christ, we are all called into this embrace with the Father. Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says the Lord. Come unto me, you who are heavy laden with sins, and you will find inner peace, of which you will find nothing on earth more desirable. St. Paul says that we are called to turn from evil and do good, to seek peace and pursue it. But St. John of San Francisco in that sermon says, it is hard for us to do good things because we do not have the peace of God. We don't have his peace. And we are weak when it comes to doing good things. Therefore, the Lord today, born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, strengthens us with the heavenly bread, his own flesh. Our churches today have now become the caves of Bethlehem. In reality, does Christ truly rest on the mangers of our altar as though it was a trough so that he may nourish us with his body and blood? As a matter of fact, I've seen icons where the discos, which is the plate on which we place the bread that we're about to consecrate, where the discos looks like a manger and the child Christ is on the discos. You might have seen that in some icons. As the Lamb of God. He's there as the little child, not as the crucified and resurrected, but as the little child there on the discos, because he is truly the bread of life born in the house of bread. We pray, my brothers and sisters, that Christ will give peace to his world, to his churches, to his priests, to all those in civil authority, and to all his people. We desperately need peace today. We desperately need peace. I listen to a lot of old radio programs from the 40s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, and sometimes I feel like I'm in a time warp because they play the old commercials too. You hear cigarette commercials and things that you never hear today. And earlier this week, I was listening to while I was falling asleep, what was a Bob Hope special from the year 1945, Christmas 1945. And he was off at some Air Force base somewhere. And he called it the first Christmas of peace. The war, World War II, had just ended a couple of months before. And they called that their first Christmas of peace. Little did they know that we were going to be back in another war in Korea in just two or three more years. And then a few more years after that, we were going to be in Vietnam, which was going to kill just about as many people as we had killed during that second war to end all war. So where is this peace? Where is this peace that Christ talks about? We truly believe as Christians that the battle is over. The battle has been won. When Christ was born, it began to be won the moment he was born, and it was won the moment that he rose from the dead and trampled down death by death. But yet the peace is still not there. And that's because the war, even though it has ended, those who have studied wars know that some of the worst killing that ever takes place in a war takes place right after the peace treaty has been signed, when the ones who have lost the war begin to throw out all their ammunition and get one last bang in before they have to face their maker. And that's what's going on now. And that's why we have no peace. And that's why we can have things like happened in Newtown a couple of weeks ago. The gospel we heard today talked about Rachel crying for her children because they were no more. That's talking about the Babylonian exile. The voice was heard in Ramah. Ramah was a city of where the Israelites had to spend time before they were deported to Babylon after they were became slaves again to the Babylonian Empire. Rachel wailing for her children. Well, Rachel's wailing again today. Rachel has never stopped wailing for her children because they are no more, because we have not yet attained that peace. Because that peace that we are looking for has to come to us first. Until we accept the peace of Christ, and we have to accept the peace of Christ. It cannot be forced upon us. And unless we accept the peace of Christ offered to us by that babe in that little manger today, we will still hear Rachel wailing and weeping for her children. Give peace, O Lord, to thy churches, to thy priests, to all those in civil authority and to all thy people. Because there is but one way for us to find peace, and we hear it in the great doxology spoken by the angels from on high to the lowly shepherds on that hill 30 miles outside of Jerusalem near Bethlehem. First, we must give glory to God in the highest, and then and only then will we have peace on earth and goodwill towards men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is born.